Blog Talk Radio.
Is sustaining just surviving, or is it something else? And if it's something else, what is it, and what does it look like? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, freedom, and family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build a global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you'd rather listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You'll be at the Blog Talk Radio website at that time. My name is Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Shabaka, who, like me, is a member of UBA. Peace, Brother Shabaka. How are you doing tonight?
Greetings, Sister Q. I'm doing fine, and thank you for asking. And I'd like to also greet the listening audience, family, and I appreciate you having me again tonight to talk about a very interesting topic.
Yes, it sounds interesting, the topic itself brought some thoughts to my mind. So what do you mean, Brother Sabaka, when you say sustaining?
Yeah, thank you, Sister, for that question. What comes to mind for me is the ability, all right, to practice. Now, when I say sustaining is usually, the adverb or something like sustainability. It's sort of like the noun in the grammatical sense. But so when I look at what does it mean or how is sustaining, and then what would characterize it, I have to look at the context in which people find themselves in, and usually find ourselves in a productive kind of process. And when I mean production, I mean then that if you look at the society is organized, all right, to produce its food, clothing, and shelter, its distribution, and so that members of the society feel safe, in a global context, of other creatures, including many that are non-human. So when I look at sustainability, I look at it as the practice of maintaining processes of production. All right, remember now, maintaining processes of production, those things that are fundamental to the production process, by periodically and systematically replacing resources used with resources of equal or greater value without degrading or endangering the natural ecosystem until at some point there is an internal or external disruption. So if I look at that in that context, it looks like we're looking at people engaged in the production process and that they are interacting with their environment. And as they interacting with their environment, they are upgrading, I put like this, upgrading to sustain those things which is necessary for them to live, for the society. When I say them, I'm talking about for the society to live. All right? Contrary to that, if they don't do that, that society will die. All right?
Uh-huh.
Now, notice I use the terms internal and external disruption. The internal disruption is if there is internal chaos and destruction, and then the society falters, all right? The external, for lack of a better term, you just invade it and overcome, all right? And so, therefore, your whole productive process is just wiped off the globe, and you're now at the mercy of those people that came in, probably with a stronger technology which allowed them to be able to overcome you. All right. So that means then if we look at that, and I wanted to try to put this as it's natural. If you look at the fact that, all right, we have roughly close to 7.8, nearly 8 billion people on the globe right now. Now, obviously the population has increased, although they're doing, when I say they, I want to make sure that I make it perfectly clear who they are. The Europeans is doing everything to disrupt that order, and so to make that reverse or make that process in which we are reproducing reverse such that we don't have quite as many people, particularly since, they might represent, maybe at best, 12% of that population. All right, and so that means if we look at Europe and people, Europeans classify themselves as white, over 85 to 90% of the world population are technically non-white. All right, so that in that context, we see that sustainability becomes important because they have to sustain. If we again accept the fact that they control, And if they don't control family, I want you to call me up, talk to Sister Q and I, all right, and explain to us if you don't see them controlling, all right? They control everything. In fact, Neely Fuller, whom I admire, Brother Neely Fuller, Elder Neely Fuller, in his mid-90s now to upper 90s, still around, keeps harping on that same thing about white supremacy. It hasn't gone away. So if anybody don't see that, you're a strong black person, strong African, a nationalist, give us a call. I'm sure Sister Q will straighten you out. But
right.
So we see that internally we can decay, we become corrupt. The spiritual foundation, the cultural foundation, which happens, can happen, has happened. There's no societies, there's no kingdom that has lasted forever. They have lasted for many years in the African context, you know, 1,000 years, you know, hundreds of years, all right? But nothing has lasted forever, and I'm saying the reason that they have not lasted forever is because of internal problems as well as external, being invaded.
Uh-huh.
Now, notice, as I try to clarify, that it's people working together. And I'm gonna try to sway from using the term of individuals, because we know that in America right now, it's the individual is sort of like given primary, but the individual cannot exist without the assistance of other members of the society. I don't care. I mean, even Donald Trump, all the rich people you know in the world, you know, they cannot exist by themselves. When they say they pull themselves up by their own bootstrap, they lied. You know, it was con artery, trickery, right? Nobody pulls them up by their own bootstraps. You basically see how to organize, and from that organizing, you know, you might acquire the lion's share of the resources, all right, from that organizing, all right, but you need the assistance of other people. Everybody on the phone, you and I, we need the assistance of everybody, all right? All right, in that society, contributing in some way to the production process in order to sustain that society, particularly if that society is beneficial to us. And so what we see right now is that people of African descent, you know, our society has been disrupted. We have been invaded. We have been captured. All right, we have been kidnapped. We become prisoners of war. We have been distributed throughout the globe, principally in the Western Hemisphere, what we call the Americas, all right, but also Asia as well. All right, so therefore, our essence to the countries that we currently occupy outside of Africa are fragmented. All right, but there is some degree of sustainability to manage ourselves because we have done it here. And you hear people talk about Black Wall Street in the United States, and there's other communities which we have developed and which we were sustaining a quality of life that benefited most members of that community. And we were, in some degrees, self-sufficient. And what I mean by self-sufficient is that as we organize, all right, we were able to create an environment that helps sustain supplying our needs without external assistance. In other words, if I use the currency, the dollar, and I use that right now because we were in America, all right, that dollar stayed around in our community, you know, for days until it happened to go out. Now, we know now we make fun of it a lot, but, you know, we need not to make fun of it all the time. We say the dollar might stay in a community 6 hours. And a lot of us over the year spend a lot of it, about $1.3 trillion of those dollars in our hands and out, staying around for 6 hours, all right?
Right.
And then everybody else is enjoying the fruits of our labor, our spending,
no doubt.
And not us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So sustaining, and how I defined it earlier, all right, is the ability of maintaining processes of production and that we are periodically upgrading that, all right, in order to produce what we acquire to live and maybe be able to do it better. In other words, we might be able to produce stuff and produce surpluses. In other words, more than what we need. All right, that allows for us to be able to engage in trade, all right, with other people, all right? Now, some people, unfortunately, the Europeans saw that we had a wealth, and they wanted it all. You got gold and silver, and you got a whole bunch of stuff down there, and, hey, you even got labor. Yeah, you darkies can really work pretty good, you know, strong bone. Yeah. So, you know, I see your families, you know, you got families, five and six kids. Hey, man, you got a production line there, so I can enslave you and just have you just produce slaves from here on. All right. That's their mentality. Okay. All right. That's what they saw when they came to us. All right. I was, interestingly, since I was listening to Dr. Claude Anderson, who was on, I was listening to a video. He was on, I think, yesterday or the day before. He was talking about slaves and slavery. And he was giving an account, you know, of slavery through the ages based on his research. And come to find out that, you know, slavery didn't really connote coloring of the skin until relatively recent. Well, when he said, you know, in 1488, when apparently the Pope said, look, people you're slave now got to be dark skinned, and that's Africans, all right? Apparently slavery prior to that, you know, because slavery has existed, was, number one, if you owed a debt, you couldn't pay the debt, you became a person slave. All right, other than that, if you were conquered, you know, and I want to exploit your labor because you are a prisoner of war, you became a slave. All right. And, of course, the other thing that you could become enslaved from is if you committed a crime. All right. And therefore, one of your punishments was to become a slave. All right. And it wasn't until recently. And he says this is when you go back into human history. This is how slavery was defined. Okay. Uh-huh. But now when you get here. When you come here, and this is what he says, you know, the Catholic Church defines slavery specifically by base color, race, and color of skin. So that's when it was attributed to people from the darker continent, Africa, you know, were given that prestigious title as slave, okay, to be enslaved. All right. So why am I bringing that up? I want to give that it's just not coincidental that we are in the situation that we're in, and that there was agreement among then the European powers, not Germany so much, Dutch, Spain, Portugal, Italy, to some extent, all right, agreement between them, all right, to enslave Africans, all right. And so it was their interest, all right, to disrupt the society, all right, with the weapons that they had developed, all right, and use that to overcome the societies to disrupt that, all right, to sustain their control, which was not necessarily beneficial to us, all right. So we see now that the Europeans has disrupted this process to go along with what I said, that sustaining anything is not forever. It can decay internally as a result of our corruption and what have you, or it can be disrupted as a consequence of outsiders coming in, seeing what you have, and then stealing it, and then having the force to be able to take it all. All right. Nila Fuller. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sister.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Continue with your thoughts. Because I have another question.
Would,
finish your thought.
Okay, I was going to say that Neely Fuller, when in his codes, compensatory code, all right, attempted to identify, you know, codes that he felt was necessary, all right, almost like values, you know, that we must subscribe to in order to overcome the global impact of white supremacy. All right. He was adamant. I've always said that what Neely Fuller presented for us, all right, what he presented for us is for our think tanks, our intellectuals, to prove him wrong, because he felt that because of the disruption created by the Europeans and the global white supremacy system that they set up, all right, that it would be extremely difficult, because they have learned from many societies. They have studied many societies, and they have studied how to sustain their control over many societies. Now, which is why I usually reference him a lot. But the only thing, you know, we would like to take advantage of is that it's difficult for the Europeans to maintain their hegemony, because, see, they don't trust each other. The French
right.
don't trust the English. The English doesn't trust the Spanish. Spanish uh-huh. doesn't trust the Portuguese and all that. They don't trust each other, you know. But they
right.
do come together to say, all right, look, we have these differences, but we got to maintain that control over the black race, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right, so that's the thing that keeps them and bind them together, is that their willingness to put aside their differences. We see their differences coming up right now. Just with Corbyn,
uh-huh.
I don't want to get a little off, you know, but, you know, they're fighting like hell out there. You got those extremely wealthy individuals who controls the pharmaceuticals and who bribes the politicians and bribe even some aspects of the courts. But it's real difficult. You know, it's the interpretation of the rules and laws, you know, it makes
uh-huh.
it difficult. So even a corrupt lawyer. I mean, even a corrupt judge, you know, who could be appealed by a higher level of judicial practice, all right, is somewhat confined to try to stick to the law, even though he's receiving some money under the table, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying that to say that they fight among themselves, and they're fighting right now, okay, and they're rising
uh-huh.
up. The people who are primarily fighting right now, the government are white folks. It's not us. Black folks are not out there demonstrating. They're not fighting. They're not in lawsuits. You know, it's Europeans who are
right.
in lawsuits to get, you know, we're not doing that.
Uh-huh.
I think that's good for us. Yeah, it's good for us because, number one, we don't have to get out there and get the cops beating us side of the head and locked up or killed.
Uh-huh.
But we can observe, all right, as they resolve their differences about control. And the people
uh-huh.
who are out there, you know, talking about liberty and these mandates are Nuremberg, violate the Nuremberg
right.
codes and all this other kind of stuff, you know,
right.
they're not necessarily in love with black folks now. They just have an opposition against their cousin.
uh-huh. They try not to get killed by the, yeah, right.
They're trying not to be killed, you know, by the jab or, you know, or the system. All right, because the system is using them, number one, as guinea pigs to see how, number one, the experiment, how it affects them. While at the same time seeing the socioeconomic impact and how it affects them, and then they can use that with the rest of the world, the non-white population. But it was in those areas that the Neely Fuller spoke. He looked at he said nine areas in which people are engaged in activity into society to sustain what it is that they do, and that in those areas, in order to sustain, and he listed them: economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, war, and counter-war. He says it's these nine areas of major activity in which the European controls us. The Europeans, in order to sustain their control, in other words, if you look at the definition I used before, maintaining processes of production by periodically and systematically placing resources used in order to make it updating while you are engaged. Now, they're not necessarily engaged in the ecological, security of the planet, but they are interested
right.
in sustaining their control over the planet. all right, or
right.
people over the planet. And so they find a way in which to do that through these nine areas. But you did, you said that you had another question. Let me go ahead and let you do that because I could go on forever.
Okay. Now, what about the, surviving? Do you think that that people are confused about the difference between sustaining and surviving?
Yeah, I think they do get the yeah, there is a difference in my mind, but I think that people get confusing because as a consequence of being invaded, we could not sustain the type of society that we had. Like you talked about it at the beginning of the program, you know, how that's how those societies existed. Once we were invaded, we could no longer sustain what we had. And even in the remote areas, because, see, the remote areas still engage in some type of social interaction, trade, which is mostly trade, with those outside who are not in the remote areas. Consequently, as a consequence of the disruption of those societies outside the remote, what we would classify as remote area, it impacted those areas which would be remote. Although those areas which were remote could be self-sustaining for a period of time as long as that they have no interest. And let me give you an example. Like in South Africa, there was areas, all right, that were developed until the discovery of gold.
Okay.
Prior to that, all right, the Europeans, you know, kept to the port, the sea areas, because that's where they took things from the sea and they transported it to Europe, all right, to sell on the European market when whites had control of South Africa, what we call South Africa. All right. But now there were still remote areas. All right. In fact, they had them set up, you know, relatively recent into what they call Bantustans. All right. In other words, they had each ethnic group had like that. All right. And some of them were doing relatively well, but definitely not as well as the European who was exploiting the resources that he found there. Now, that was okay until the European found some minerals there.
Okay.
That would be disrupted, all right? Now you say, well, to get back to your question, all right, what happened? Well, those societies were there, but they did not have the sovereignty that they had before to sustain their development. All right, let me repeat that. And brothers and sisters, you know, please, I appreciate if you would call in if you got another view. We were sustaining ourselves, but once we were invaded, okay, we no longer were sustaining the type of living that we had, but we didn't vanish. We stayed there, all right?
Okay.
All right. We did not have necessarily the control of the economy that we had prior to the invasion, all right, but we were still there, all right? What did we have? We might not have had the basic means to sustain ourselves, all right, but we had something there which caused us to survive even though we no longer had control of the economy. Now, this way I want to get into survival or surviving. All right. I want us to look at it. I hope we look at it that usually when we use the term survival, it depends a great deal on a person or a people's ability to withstand stress in an emergency situation. That's what I mean by that. You in the airplane and it crashed. Everybody on the flight died but you. You say, well, maybe I was lucky. God help me. But you was you at that time in which the plane was going down, you weren't necessarily happy. You know,
right.
You could see your maker, all right, that you were getting ready for the next world. Okay. All right. So that was an emergency situation, but you survived that situation. So you got invaded. All right. You got invaded. What you had sustained over the decades and centuries was disrupted, but you was able to, during that period of the invasion, survive, all right, you survived that encounter, all right, which allowed you to be able to, all right, to live, all right, survive that encounter, which allowed you to live, like you was in that plane crash, whatever you did, pray, fasten your seatbelts or whatever, you lived. You didn't die. Okay?
Right.
All right. The confusion we have is that sustaining means a growth and development, all right, to continue as a society. Invaded now, we are just surviving because we no longer have control over the instruments that we once used in order to sustain our production. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And then what that brings to me, Brother Shabaka, is, you know, they keep talking about sustainability. We have to have economic sustainability, whatever kind of sustainability they talk about globally, or, you know, like the what they call the Economic Forum or the UN or these kinds of people. They keep talking about sustainability. But based on what you're saying, what they're doing is telling people that just barely being able to survive is what the new sustainability, because they don't mean for people to have, you know, like they say, you will own nothing and be happy. So that sounds to me like what they're doing is playing a game on people or tricking people into accepting the notion that just being able for you to barely survive is what is necessary, and we're going to teach you that that means that you're sustaining life. So that's sustainability. The planet can only handle you just barely surviving. Am I wrong in getting that from what they're saying and the difference in the definition provided us tonight?
Sister, you couldn't have said it any better. That's exactly what I'm talking about, is that this is how the confusion comes in, all right, because now the system, all right, which is white supremacy controlling, and I want to make this, and I know this is controversial, but I want to say it anyway, okay, it's controversial. I'm saying it's controversial, all right, is that the different socioeconomic systems we talk about, you know, we talk about feudalism, capitalism, socialism, communism, and all that other kind of stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And we look at the evils of those systems. The evil is white supremacy, which uses those systems in order to sustain its control. Not that communism is bad, not that socialism is bad, not that capitalism is bad. Yeah, they're bad, all right? But it's the system that is controlled by white supremacists to sustain their control over the globe, all right? Like the difference between capitalism, you know, is that the productive forces is controlled by a bunch of capitalist banks, corporations. Socialism is just transferred to the state, right? Which is still exploited. Okay. The bottom people don't have any they can't sustain anything because there's this tendency. They're just surviving now to what has been state apparatus. And you got partial that in the United States. You have a state bureaucracy. You know, you got Biden, so you see Biden. All right, but what you don't see is the corporation leadership, you know, that pays and bribes those that are in the state apparatus. In socialism, you just have folks. You have folks just occupy the state apparatus, and so your billionaires are the heads of government, the heads of agencies and stuff like that. So, but let me not get lost in that. That's a discussion and debate for another day. It's white supremacy. That's what we need to go on, because it's that is people's view that they need to sustain control over the globe. All right. In other words, as Neely Fuller represented, and as Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, in her theory, says that it's the control over the non-white, particularly black folks of the globe, by this minority so that they don't get neutralized, you know, as a consequence of the ethnicity of the race progressing itself. All right, so, but what you said earlier is exactly, yes, ma'am.
We have a caller, so when you finish with the thoughts you got now, we're going to take a call, okay?
Okay, well, go ahead and bring the caller on.
Okay, all right. Okay, caller with the last four digits, 5718, please state your name, where you're calling from, and ask your question or make your comment. Thank you.
Good evening. Hotep and blessing. This is Chief Elder Minister John Henry calling in from Georgetown, South Carolina. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great. How about yourself? Yep.
I'm doing blacktastic.
Good.
Okay.
I like to hear that.
Yes, I'm listening to the conversation, and I agree with the brother 100%. And I look at him, I don't know his name because I'm just tuning in because I just checked my emails about 5 minutes ago. And so I was always wanted to come in and try to see what everything is going on that side of the river, I'll put it. What I hear you speaking of, and I'm not trying to get off topic, I'm trying to stay as close as topic as possible, dealing with, you know, our crisis here in North America. Now, I'll be 61 years old this year here, and I'm a new jack on the scene. Many ones that's on this call probably seen the sun, like my father used to say, many days before I seen it. But as the second or the third generation that I am, and the elders that came before me, respectfully, somebody dropped the ball somewhere, you know, because I don't think I should be fighting the same battles at my age as my father and my grandfather had fought. Like I said earlier, I'm here in Georgetown, and I'm about maybe an hour and 40 minutes from Columbia. So coming to South Carolina 20 years ago, I did a little extensive research of South Carolina, and Columbia did have a Black Wall Street. You know, they did have self-sustainability to a certain degree because they was able to function and operate within their own circle. And then that had came collapsed it. So moving forward to 2021, where, in my opinion, respectfully, the only way that we're going to move forward this time is to create our own economic agenda. And that's what I'm pushing here in South Carolina, because I created back in June the 13th, 2013, I created an economic development plan that will target our people specifically in the whole state of South Carolina. Because one thing I notice is that when our counterparts, and I'm going to put it politely, I don't want to, but I'm going to put it politely. When our counterparts talk about economics and they're talking about agenda, automatically something rings in our mind, but yet we haven't benefited from none of that in the last 50 years. And so that's why when the ancestors put it in my spirit in a dream to create this economic development plan, I knew I was going up against the odds, you know. And so in order for us to pull forward, especially in this time, if we don't get it right this time, it's going to be the end of all conversations. And trust me when I say that. You know, because I see something else bigger and powerful to come But as it says in the Bible, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So the power is inside of each and every one of us. If we can come together collectively, we may not can't come together on the unity, but we can be unified by coming to the table and put our solutions on the table without any debating and just move forward, you know. And so I gonna try to be long when I finish in less than 15 seconds, please. And so I definitely want to do my part. I'm gonna go ahead and join, you know, as a member. I was in contact last month with an elder with this group here. I believe he's out of Atlanta, and he knows my brother Amafika Dikayuka out of Florida. So I yield the rest of my time, and I'm hoping to be able to come in and share what I have and add it and put it on the table. I yield the rest of my time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comment. One of the things I would like to say about the Black Wall Street in you mentioned South Carolina. We had Black Wall Street all over the nation, actually. And one of the things that was done was the highway system that we take, you know, U.S. 40, U.S. 90, U.S. 90, you know, 95, 75, 55, 65, all of those highways went through Black communities and dismembered them. After they joined Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they burned it to the ground. They refused to allow anyone to come in and rebuild it or help rebuild it. The people in Tulsa did rebuild it. In 5 years, they had everything up better than it had been before it was burnt down. And in 10 years, they were like to the moon. So I think what the European learned from that was, if you tear it down and leave us alone, we're just going to build it back and we're going to make it better, and they still won't be able to touch us. So then they started dismantling things. We are seemingly in the same battle as our parents and grandparents. However, it's a different battle because they keep destroying and manipulating the pieces. Brother Shabaka, what would you like? Do you have anything to say about
it? Yeah, thank you very, very much, sister, for your comments. And, brother, yes, we know Baba Amafika Gayuka quite well. In fact, I'm calling from outside of Miami myself, and I have visited your brother and the elder in Atlanta. Please, you know, if you go to the website, you know, send him a note. He'll definitely get in contact with you, and we really welcome your participation and like what you're doing up in South Carolina. But yes, what the sister said is true. We have built a number of Black Wall Streets throughout the country, in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, in Florida, Northern Florida, you know, Mississippi, you know, and then of course, you know, out there in Oklahoma. So we have built those. But one of the things that have been real tricky in the building of those is that we have the resources necessary that the European used to sustain the control. Now, Neely Fuller says that he controls the 9 basic areas or major areas of people activity. And, of course, these people are engaged in those activities for years. We are engaged. Economics, education, we have that. The European has the most resources. If they want to uproot you, as Sister Q says, he builds a highway that takes them, you know, to and from the resources that he wants to acquire to the markets he wants to use to exploit the goods and that he's been able to acquire. The hell with us. So he has the resources and he has the power. Black Wall Street was invaded. The Europeans came there because they were doing so well. Somebody said, you know, no N-word is supposed to have that much economic control and sovereignty. So they just came in. They had the guns. We didn't. We didn't have enough. All right. And so everything that they were willing to destroy, they were able to do that because they had one resource available to themselves, which allowed them to go in and reinvade. All right, which is what they did. I think to deal with a point that you brought up, brother, is that we seem to be doing everything over and over again. I think the pain has been so significant of losing what we have developed and witnessing the cruelty we have never seen, or you know, in our days. Yes, we invaded, we conquered each other, but we set up systems, we set up civilizations. All right. We have never seen the evil extended to us before by other peoples. And I think Dr. Claude Anderson says that during the slavery period in which we were enslaved, the French, the British, and the Dutch were the most brutal. They were the most brutal during the period, according to his research. And the Spanish, Portuguese, and the Arabs. The Arabs were the first to enslave in the large context, us. They were brutal, but they were not quite as brutal as the Europeans, all right? And the reason for that is because the Europeans took us to places in the Americas where, you know, Africans were the majority population. You need to understand that. Now, I know in Mississippi, we're about 40% of the population. In Alabama, about maybe 30%. In Georgia, South Carolina, I think we might be a little bit, maybe very close to 35%. Not sure. Maybe the brother has those statistics. But I'm saying we were the majority population. We was over 50%. Of the population. I mean, why would they need a whole bunch of Europeans there? They needed us to do the labor. Europeans weren't doing the labor. We were doing the labor. All right, so you had the master who had the plantation. All right, he had slaves and he had overseers that had guns and whips. All right, so we were the majority population. All right, and he understood that well. And so he was brutal in his suppression of anything. We had rebellions. We had so-called slave riots, as they call it. We're no slave riots. They were rebellions, all right, against the slave autocracy. That's what we were rebelling against. All right, so he's brutal in order to sustain himself, and I think in order, you know, witnessing what he did to sustain, and I remember now, to sustain his control. Sometimes people say, some of the sociologists say, we didn't want to pass on that memory. You know, like we are often told that the Jews had from the Holocaust, you know, never again, you know, they pass on that memory of what they experienced. We didn't do that. And consequently, by not doing it, you know, it seemed like we are always doing the thing over and over again. But you are doing well with the economics. In fact, that's one of the things I want to talk about in talking about sustaining and surviving, all right, is that we must be beyond surviving, because that's on an emergency situation, in order to keep ourselves alive. Now we must develop, all right, the processes in order to build economic institutions and to sustain those. All right, and let me just read just the vision statement of ULU, just to give you an idea of how seriousness we are. All right. Us Lifting Us, as ULU, aims to be the premier and preferred global economic cooperative community for people of African descent. Now, we said global. I didn't just say here in Miami, Liberty City. All right, I didn't say just in Atlanta, Georgia, all right, or Spartanburg, South Carolina, or what have you. All right. or Columbia, South Carolina. No, I said global, all right, for communities of people of African descent. And I specifically said the word cooperative. Cooperative means you have people working together. You didn't hear me mention socialist, economic socialist community, or economic capitalist community, free market community, you know, all the other terms. I said cooperative, which means you insist that people work together in order to bring this about. That's our mission. That's our vision. Our mission is to build and sustain. Let me say it again, to build it up and sustain a legacy of global cooperative business institutions for economic sovereignty of our people of African descent. Now, the whole idea, we know that nothing lasts forever, but right now we have to remove ourselves from the atmosphere in which we see ourselves surviving to sustaining, all right, an economy, all right, and an economy that is sovereign, sustaining an economy that is sovereign, all right. And so how do we do that? Well, we have core values. We have core values, all right. We understand the need to be cooperative. We understand the need, all right, for the generation of wealth. And that the generation of wealth, all right, is not just a dollar. Well, a dollar isn't worth anything. Poor terminology.
Right.
But you know, the dollar currency, right? You know, we're talking about wealth generation. And not wealth generation, but intergenerational, all right, intergenerational and intragenerational wealth generation. So the wealth that is created as a consequence of our economic activity, as which is a consequence of owning businesses, all right, that thing is passed down to our next generation. And so you can't pass something down to the next generation without telling them why you're passing it down. So the education becomes extremely important in that regard, all right, and in addition to the education, you know, you also provide them with the tools, all right, that help that you develop to sustain that so that they can carry it on as long as they can, all right, and to protect themselves against what you see. Now, the foundation of that, and a lot of this is on the website, and I know that we're almost running out of time, sister, so stop me when we got there, but you go to the website, that's usliftingus.com. Go through it, scroll down. You see information there that will allow you to be able to communicate with us. We don't necessarily ask you to agree with me on this. You may have a disagreement with many of the things that I've said, or you may have an agreement. All right. Well, use that opportunity to contact us and tell us your disagreement or your agreement. As the brother from South Carolina spoke up, he said he's going to join. He's got a brother that's a good friend of mine, you know, over a decade, Baba Amasika Geuka. Uh-huh. All right. So, in fact, I talked to him last week. So it's interesting that you mentioned that. But, yeah, so, you know, tell us. We welcome you. Brother Hakima is probably the elder that you spoke to, and he's probably on this call today listening to us. So, and he's the one that usually handles the calls that come in and contact and interact with people who want more information, because he's one of the elder founders. He's one of the founders who is an elder, all right, and he knows a lot about this organization. But we're looking at building black economic power and to sustain that. And in order to sustain that, we know that we must have tools. And we know we must have those tools passed down. One of the ways in which we see tools passed down is the development, just to give you a little bit about some of the things that we were putting together, is what we call the Ulu-based collective. And think of the Ulu-based collective as a chapter, you know, of Ulu, which is positioned in a locality, all right, to learn as much about the history of that locality, all right, to understand the economics about that locality, and also to sustain themselves in the culture, which is necessary for laying the economic foundation when you begin to identify businesses that is needed by that, excuse me, that is needed by that community. Now, once you have identified those things and you've done that, so if you got these little small cells which are around and can identify economic activity, then begin to build the business environment, the building foundation and superstructure, then you begin to be able to flex your economic muscle. All right. Now, we have that information that we got from the past. We know what went wrong. Well, we're going to study what went wrong, all right? And then in studying what went wrong, all right, then we build from that how to protect ourselves. We build a necessary security to protect ourselves and our interests, all right? We see ourselves operating out of malls, all right? And that's we see malls because we see malls and we see how our people gravitate towards malls. But all the money that we generate for the European in these malls did not come back, or very, you know, peanuts come back to the communities or neighborhoods that we are from. All right, so we want these malls to become us. We want these malls that we develop, you know, across this nation, across the country. The malls may take various forms, you know, based on the socioeconomic and cultural expression wherever they are. But the thing is to have a gathering of faith where we have businesses that are engaged in the economy, businesses that are engaged in the health. We've had a number of Dare to Win programs that talked a lot about health. And you've got to be healthy if you want to have an economy, because an economy requires workers. You can't be sick all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, you get a cold, good. But then you take care of yourself. The cold is gone in a day or two. You're back to work. All right. Can't have you, you know, 700 pounds. You know, that's not going to be healthy. You know, you're going to have trouble moving around. But we got, uh-huh. But we can help you moving around because we have not the kind of health care system that you see now, but what we envision that's going to address being healthy. All right, so we have the malls. And then in addition to the malls, we have the online version of the mall. You know, we have what is called the trade basket. The trade basket will be sort of like an online version of these malls, which are scattered throughout the country and various forms throughout the world. And, of course, that all brings us back and lay down an economic development platform, which allows us to engage, have the necessary muscle such that a Black Wall Street is sustained much longer than what it was sustained back there in the 1920s or 19-teens. All right, so we have that. All right, and these are the things that we see ourselves building toward. Well, sister, I don't want to burn your ear up, but you know I could go on forever with these conversations. Let me stop here. You might have a question.
Well, actually, you got a minute, so I wanted to thank you for tonight's conversation, and tonight's discussion. And also, too, because every time you come, you bring really good information. It's like you got to come back and do some more. So
Thank you, sister.
As we wind up, it's like 9:59 right now. Do you have anything you want to say else right quick?
Thank you, sister. I want to thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come on again. I appreciate this invitation. I want to thank the brother. You can tell when you talk to Amafika that you had a conversation with Brother Shabaka, and he knows me. We'll probably talk right after you tell him that. In fact, we were supposed to talk during the weekend. We spoke earlier last week. I want to appreciate the brother's call. I appreciate the family who's on. And we have to think about these things seriously. The European is on the move. He's fighting among himself right now, which is good, but he's not going to, you know, keep fighting among himself. He's just trying to assert who is going to, what philosophy is going to govern. All right, they just try to see, you know, like Trump and Biden are, you know, the same folks. I'm trying to tell you they're the same folks. All right. Biden just says, "All right, I want all of the diverse people under my white rule tent, you know." And Trump just says, "I don't really think I need to be diverse. I just want to rule." Their efforts and their foresight is to rule. It doesn't matter which one they want to rule. They just have a different strategy on how to go about it. All right, but it's no difference. So they're on the move. They're going to fight a little bit, you know. They'll get that resolved, and then we need this breathing time, with little breathing time, not to become too involved in what they're doing. We need to become involved in what we're doing. We need to know what they're doing, but we need to be involved in our building. All right.
Absolutely.
And thank you. And thank you so much again.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Shabaka, for the information that you brought forward, and thanks. I'd like to thank Brother John Henry for participation and say hello to your brother. We want to thank everyone who joined us for this evening, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, "Boy,
boy, boy,
oh, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, cause the woman that you love is gone. Oh, it's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. Listen to me, get up off your knees, cause only the strong survive." That's what she said, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold on. Don't go around with your head hung down. Well, I wouldn't let the little girl know. Let her know that she made me feel like a clown. There are a whole lot of girls looking for a good man like you. Oh, but you'll never meet him if you give up now and say your life is true. Then she said, "Oh,